Thank you very much. Well, it's good to see so many of you here tonight, and we trust the Lord will bless us. We've been asked to speak on the gospel. It's a gospel meeting, and we want to speak on that. But it is so good to see you all. I don't know why I was picked, maybe my youth, I don't know, but I do like young people. I like children. I used to go to school with them years ago, and great potential when you look around and see so many of you, your whole life in front of you. I envy you. You have your whole life in front of you. Some of you know a little bit older, college or whatever, or jobs, and you're thinking, those younger ones, thinking of your future. You know, when I went to school, do you have careers officers in school? No? Yeah? No? Yes? Yes. You see, I went to school so long ago they didn't have such a thing as careers officers. It was way back in the 1960s, but I had a friend in school always getting me into trouble, and the teacher one day asked, "What do you all want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be?" And my friend, "Please, miss, old, fat, and rich." So I have two out of the three. All right, so don't you tell me which two it is. But anyway, I hope you have better goals than that in life. I'm turning to Exodus chapter 27. So if you have your Bible, would you turn to it, please? The Old Testament book of Exodus. Exodus means the way out. The way out. It's the story of Israel being brought out of Egypt. This happened 3,500 years ago. It's not a long time. 3,500 years ago. And they describe a building. You're saying, "Oh, I'm not an architect. I don't want to hear about buildings." Well, you bear with me for a few moments, because this is an exciting account of a building that was erected. It was called the Tabernacle. The children of Israel worshipped in it. It was really a tent. And I've just brought a little laminated thing to show you. And I want you to see the diagram of it. Can you all see that? That's during the wilderness. But for over 400 years, the children of Israel worshipped in this building. Now, I want you to really look at it closely. You see, there's a fence, a white linen fence. Now, all those other things around it, they're supposed to be tents in which the people lived in the wilderness. Now, you see, there's a white fence, and in the middle there's what you call the tabernacle proper. And that's where the priests would go in and they'd worship God, and there's what's called the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant. Some of you may never have studied it, but that was a symbol, an illustration of the throne of God in heaven. And God said he would come and dwell among them, and God was teaching them by object lesson, by pictures, and even by colours, that one day the Saviour would come. You see, do you know from the beginning of time there's only been one way for people to be saved? There's only one gospel. And you know the Bible is all about the Lord Jesus Christ, even the Old Testament. And what you see in front of you, God was teaching the people even by what they saw. Can you see it tonight? Just get it into your mind. There's the fence, there's the building proper in the middle, there's what's called the brazen altar where animals were burnt, and you'll see there's a way in, you see the colours, on like a doorway, it's a curtain, an entrance, and you see how many entrances there are in, can you see that? One entrance. Well, I want to read a bit about this fence and this entrance. You say, but it's not very exciting. Well, do you know there are 50 chapters in God's Word? 50 chapters in God's Word describing this building that I've just shown to you. Think of it. 50 chapters describing the making and the measurement and the material and the ministry carried. 50 chapters of God's Word. And you know the New Testament tells us in the book of Hebrews, it's a picture of heaven. Now, you look at that one. That doesn't look very much like heaven, does it? Well, no, it's symbols, it's illustrations, it's a plan, it's a blueprint. Before you build a house, you have a blueprint, and God was teaching them that in order to get to heaven where God is, here it is, an object lesson and plan. And we're also told in the New Testament, it's all about Christ. See this building, when you're looking at it, you're going to see. Just look at it all again. Just bear with me. Can you see it? How many doors again are there? Entrances? One. You know what God was teaching the Israelites in the Old Testament? There's only one way to get to heaven. Only one way. To come in before the Lord. Well, let's read in Exodus 27. We're not going to read too many verses, but from verse 12, Exodus chapter 27. Exodus 27, verse 12, and for the breadth of the court on the west side shall be hangings of 50 cubits, their pillars 10, their sockets 10, and the breadth of the court on the east side eastward shall be 50 cubits. The hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. And on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3 and their sockets 3. Now that's all the detail of that fence. Now, let's look at verse 16. And this is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Alright? 3,500 years before he was born. You ready to watch it? And for the gate of the court shall be an hanging of 20 cubits, that's about 30 feet wide, of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen, which is white, of course, so there are four colours, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4 and their sockets 4. I want to speak to you about verse 16. And this verse, I'm telling you, it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I don't see his name there. It's all about him. Because in the Old Testament, they were looking forward to him coming. Tonight, we rejoice that Jesus Christ came and lived, and he died, and he was buried, and he rose again for our sins. And that's the gospel. Do you know today there's a lot of people don't know what the gospel is? They'll give you all kinds of answers. If you're ever asked, what's the gospel? The gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again according to the scriptures. Now, it's a gospel meeting. You've read, I'm sure, and studied the Apostle Paul. My, how brave he was. He was whipped, he was stoned, he was put in prison, and yet he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And yet, on one occasion, he wrote this, I am afraid. Can you imagine that? The great Apostle Paul, who was beaten and persecuted, and he said, I fear, I fear. Well, what was he afraid about? Listen, that through the subtlety of Satan, you be removed from the simplicity that is in Christ. Do you know, it's possible to complicate the gospel. And those of you who go on outreach, don't complicate the gospel. The gospel is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and I shall be saved. But maybe there's some of you this evening and you're saying, but Mr. Johnson, I've heard that from when I was young, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe? I believe there was somebody lived called Jesus and he died. But I don't have any peace that I'm saved. And that is a real question. And I had it when I was young. And a lot of people have that question. What does it mean to believe? And often we're too shy to ask anybody to explain to us what it means to believe in Christ. Well, I want to talk about that tonight. I hope it helps you. And I trust that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that tonight you'll listen in these moments and you'll come to know him as your Lord and Savior. I've said that gateway, can you see it in your mind, the fence? Then the gateway, that gateway with its colours, God was teaching the gospel. Yes, colours are very emotive, aren't they? I only think of rugby at the minute. Isn't the rugby matches, maybe you're no interest in rugby. The rugby matches going on at the minute over in England and so on. My daughter sent me a wee text this morning on WhatsApp and she said, did you hear the joke about the Englishman? There's usually an Irishman, a Scotsman and a Welsh, but they're away at the World Cup. So they're not in the story. But anyway, if you don't know rugby, you don't know what I'm talking about. But they all have their different colour of jerseys. And you have the football team, the Reds, the Blues, and we'll not better get into that tonight. We don't want any trouble. And colours are important. And you know, God uses colours to explain the gospel so that tonight in Newton Ards, nobody in this meeting will be confused as to how to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? God shows it in the Bible. Well, there was a court. We saw it in the picture. And that's a symbol of salvation. That's where David used to worship. And he said, he longed to go into the courts of the Lord. It was the place of pardon, the place of peace, the place of approaching God. You see, the Israelite in those days, he knew that God was holy. He knew he was a sinner. How can I, as a sinner, come into God's presence? Or put it this way, how can a holy God accept you into his presence? How can he save you and bring you to heaven? How can I be sure I have eternal life? Well, the Israelite knew that the Lord dwelt above what's called the ark, the mercy seat. In picture form, of course, he fills heaven and earth, but you can approach God there. And as he came, there was this fence, 7.5 foot high, and it was made of white linen. And the fence, what does the fence say? Keep out. And you know, the Levites camped around the fence, and if any stranger even touched it with his finger, they were to put him to death. Because God's holy. His word says not that defileth can enter in. Do you know what white linen in the Bible is a symbol of? Revelation 19:8. Righteousness. We can't get to heaven by what we do. Never think, young person, well, if I try and be good, and I try and live a good life, and really try hard, then God will forgive my sins. No. We cannot atone for our own sins. The Ten Commandments condemn us. But as the Israelite would walk around, all of a sudden he would see, you remember? The fence said, keep out. And all of a sudden as he walked around, there was the entranceway. Do you see it? I believe that God was teaching in verse 16 of Exodus 27 by the gate, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my first point. Christ is the doorway. He's the entrance. There was only one way. In the New Testament, John 10, verse 9, Christ said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, I am the way. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. There's no other way for you to get to heaven but through the Lord Jesus Christ. You all come into this room. You came through the door, didn't you? You say, well, of course, don't be stupid, Mr. Johnson. We're not stupid. Of course we come through the door. Well, isn't it simple to know what it is to come through a door? Isn't it simple? I remember looking after a grandchild when he was about two. Well, he wasn't even two. He was crawling. And I tell you, there was a doorway that was open. He kept trying to go through it and then crawl through here and crawl. Even a little child not even walking goes through an open door. The Lord Jesus Christ said, he's the door. You have to go through him to be saved. There's no other way to be in heaven. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven but for you to come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to come through him. And there's only one door. Do you ever sing in the children's meeting, one door and only one, yet its sides are two, inside or outside? On which side are you? And as I look out at you tonight, do you know, I can't see into your heart, but some of you are inside Christ. Some of you are outside of Christ and you're headed for hell. And for you to be in heaven, you have to get into Christ. Do you know in the New Testament, the word Christian only occurs three times? Isn't that amazing? Three times, Christian. Do you know, over and over and over and over again, people that believe in Christ are known as in him, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. You believe into him. Just as you walk through a doorway, you're to come through Christ. Can you see it? There's only one gate. Christ is the only way. It's not the church. It's not, oh, but I go to the youth fellowship. Will God not accept me and forgive my sin? No. Oh, but I do. No, listen. You have to come and know Christ as your Savior. He said, I, the person. The person's the door. And just as you walked in through a door tonight, you must come to the Lord Jesus Christ, the necessity, in order to be saved. But number two, told you it wouldn't be too long. Number two, how come Christ is the door? Well, look at verse 16 of Exodus 27. God said, when you make this entranceway, make a hanging. That means it was a curtain, 30 feet wide, blue, purple, scarlet, and white fine twine linens, or white. And it was done with needlework. And there were four pillars to hold it up to the gaze. So as the Israelite walked round, I can't get in. I can't come to God. I'm a sinner. And all of a sudden, it's a beautifully embroidered curtain. And he could just pull it aside, and it said, come in. Come in. Why did God say make it blue and these other colours? Why did God not say make it black and brown and green? Well, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. God is teaching how to be saved so simply that the youngest person here can understand it. What is blue in Scripture? Well, I could turn to various references, but for time, it does talk in one verse about the blue sky. Blue, when it's a sunny day, you look up. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that I'm sure, sadly, many of you boys and girls hear people taking the lovely name of Jesus as a curse word. Oh, don't you do it. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is not a man, just a man. He's the Lord from heaven. He made the sky. He made everything. He came from heaven. He's God. That's why he could stand and still the storm and raise the dead. He's God. Yes, he was born as a baby, but that baby in the manger, he's God. Never forget that. Jesus Christ is God. That's one reason he's the Saviour. Ah, but then it's made of white fine linen. Linen comes from the ground, a thing called flax. Used to have lots of flax mills when I was young. And many people who knew worked in the flax mill. And flax comes from the ground. And I've already said, white linen is a picture of righteousness. Jesus Christ is not only God, but he's perfect man. He lived just like us. He understands your trials. He understands what it is to suffer pain and to be rejected and sorrow. He understands all that. Yet he never sinned. Never sinned. You and I sin. And one sin keeps us out of heaven. He never sinned. The white linen. And then it speaks about the purple. Do you see that in the verse? Do you know what purple is in Scripture? It's the sign of a king. Royalty. I don't know if any of you collect coins, but you know where you get a... Oh, look at that. I haven't saved any money. Don't know if a wife's given me any or not. Oh, she has. It's okay. I'm only joking, by the way. She's probably listening. You know how a coin you have on the back? There's Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Well, do you know Roman coins in the time of Jesus Christ were just the same, only they had the emperor. And you know what the emperors would have? There would be on the coin sort of robes. Of course, they weren't coloured, but they signified royal robes that would be purple. And then the king or the emperor would sit with a sceptre, a rod of gold and precious stones. That's a sign of rule, authority. And then he would have a crown. Now, don't think of a crown that Her Majesty wears. The crown that the emperors had was a wreath. A wreath. Do you know sometimes they use parsley? I know you take it in your, well, whatever, do you ever put it in lamb or whatever? But parsley, sometimes made a wreath. It went round their head. And when you won the Olympic Games, yes, there were Olympic Games in Christ's day and when Paul wrote. Yes, Olympic Games aren't something new. There were sports fanatics in Christ's day. There was a stadium in Rome held 200,000. There was a stadium in Jerusalem when Christ was alive held over 20. They're into sports. And when you won the Olympic Games, you didn't get a gold medal, you got a wreath. They call it a crown. Stephen, if anybody here is called Stephen or Stephanie, it's a wreath. Do you know what they did with the Lord Jesus Christ? The Roman soldiers took him and they said, let's get an old purple robe and put it around his shoulders. And then let's put an old reed in his hand in imitation of a scepter. And let's take a wreath, a crown, but we'll take thorns My, they're long. I've seen them, long thorns that they have in the Middle East there. And we'll put that, we'll not put the laurel wreath that the emperor, the kings wear. We'll put that and we'll beat it into his head. And they bowed down on the knee and they mocked him and they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." But listen, Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day every one of us in this room will bow before him and acknowledge him as King. He's King. Now there's the colours. He's God. He's perfect man. He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look at verse 16. See the scarlet colour? What's all that about? What's all that about? Well, if you have your Bible and you want to turn over to Psalm 22. This is amazing. The Psalm 22. And you know, young people, this was written, and there's no doubt about it, hundreds of years before the Saviour was born. And if any of you are having doubts about the Scripture, this Psalm will do away with those doubts. Psalm 22, it's written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, and the very first words are, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's what Christ cried on Calvary, isn't it? Do you know what the last verse in the whole psalm is? Verse 31, he hath done this. Or, I'll put it another way, it is finished. This describes what Christ suffered on the cross. Look at verse 16, they pierced my hands and my feet. That's before crucifixion was known, the Jews stoned to death. This is prophecy, written before it happened. And about the soldiers gambling for his clothes, it's prophecy. It describes Christ, it's the prophecy of his agony and his victory. But you look at verse 6 very closely, and this is Christ depicted as speaking on Calvary as he suffered, as he was crucified. Look what it says, but I am a worm. I am a worm. Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ, God, man, King. And he says, I'm a worm. What does that mean? Well, when Christ was here and he offered himself as the people's king, you know what they did? They rejected him and they crucified him. Some of you may have grown up on a farm and you're out with your willy boots on and you're walking across the field and you see a worm. What do? You just go. No, what do? You don't pick it up and say, well, I'll put you over here, wee worm. You just treat it like nothing. And that's what the people did of Christ. They treated him as if he didn't exist, as if he was a nobody. And I just want to say to every one of you tonight who's not saved, see, if you're not saved, that's the way you're treating Christ. Oh, you say, you are. Because you're saying, I don't want you as my Saviour. But it means more than that. You see that word worm? That is exactly the same word in Hebrew as the word scarlet. You with me? What was the fourth colour? Scarlet. Worm. Same word. What does it mean? Do you know how they got the dye to make the scarlet thread? There's a little grub called the cochineal. And do you know to this day, because I got pictures of it once, I performed the marriage of a couple and they brought me pictures back from their honeymoon in Cyprus of the little grub that grows in cacti plants. Do you know to this day they take that little grub, lots of them, and they put them and they crush them and they kill them. And as they crush them, there's a red scarlet dye comes out that dyes the thread. And my late mother told me as a girl she would go and buy the cochineal dye. And just by the way, you bakers, look it up on the internet. Some of the food colouring is made from the same wee little beetle grub. That'll put you off eating cake, wouldn't it? It is. You check it out. I'm telling you the truth. Can you see what it's saying? How did Christ become the door to heaven? Because he's God. He's King. He's perfect man who never sinned. And because of that, when he went to Calvary, he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. Can you see him on the cross? My, the blood from the thorns in his brow, the nails in his hands, the scourging upon his back and chest, the nails in his feet. And he's shedding his precious blood. Why? So that you could have your sins forgiven. And yet tonight some of you are saying, I'm not interested in Christ. Oh, listen, he became the door because he died for you, died for sinners. One last point. Christ is the door. How he became the door? You need to enter in the door. And this is why this meeting's called tonight. We're so concerned. We're so concerned for you. You need to enter through the door. You need to come. You need to come and get through the door. He's the only door. I know you say, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to believe? Well, it means more than just knowing things in your head. And it means more than just saying, oh, I'd love to be saved and have my sins forgiven. It affects your will. Your will. Put it another way. What does it mean to believe in Christ? You think of those four colours again. You say, I'm a sinner. But, oh God, I come, and I'm coming through Christ. I ask to be accepted through Him. I'm taking Him as my God. I'm taking the Lord Jesus Christ as my King and Lord of my life, as King of my life. And I'm trusting that on Calvary, when He shed His precious blood, that it pays for sins, my sins. And if I confess my sins, O God, our Father, You have promised that You will forgive my sins and You'll bring me to heaven. I come. I come. You know what I'm afraid of tonight, just the way the Apostle Paul said he was afraid? You know, Paul wept when he preached the gospel that some wouldn't accept. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ wept over Jerusalem when He told them to come. Come, He said. I often would have gathered you as a hen doth gather her chickens under his wings, but you won't come. And there's leaders here and others are praying tonight that you come to the youth fellowship and yet you've never come to Christ. And you know, can you imagine this again? Just look at the picture. We're almost finished, so you just bear with me for a few moments more. Can you see where we've got the way in? Well, you have to go through the door to get in. I wonder if there were people today that I know, if there's some sitting outside and you say to them, what's inside that building? Oh, it's wonderful. It's a picture of heaven. You can go in and worship God and meet with Him. And there's an altar where they do the sacrifices. And it's reminding us that one day the Lamb of God will come and die for our sins. You ought to go in. And you ask the person, have you gone in? No, but one day. You see, what we're saying as a young person, you can know the gospel, you can know the verses, you can know all about the Lord Jesus Christ, but you have to get into Him. You have to trust Him. Last Saturday, I went down to the market. I didn't walk and go into the town. I went into the market, and the son with me went in, and I saw a man in the distance that I know well from Belfast. I hadn't seen him for a while. He lives out at Newton Abbey, actually. Out that way, or White Abbey, down near Rathcrewe, actually. And hadn't seen him. He's a Christian. And it reminded me about, must be 20 years ago, I was visiting a mutual friend. I didn't know him very well, but they told me he was very ill in hospital. Would you go in and see him? Say, I didn't know him too well, but my friend Tom and I, he knew him a lot better. And I went into the hospital. Minister went in, sat at the bed. I knew he'd been ill for a long time with breathing. Anytime you're with him, he would take a few steps and, you know, pause. And he had an oxygen mask. Ron, thanks for coming. Then he says, Ron, Tom, he's a real Christian, isn't he? That's my friend I saw, just happened to see him in the distance in the market with his wife. Brought the story back. I said, what do you mean? I knew what he meant. Isn't he saved? I said, that's right. And then I said, his name was Tommy. I said, Tommy, what about you? And I want you to think for a moment. He had an oxygen mask. He was really thin, critically ill in hospital. He died just a very short time after. You know what he asked? Are you saved? Tommy, you need to come to Christ. You know what he said? I know I need to be. I live with my two sisters. They go to the brethren. They're both saved. Ron, I know I need to be saved.
maybe someday. You think about it, an elderly man. Maybe someday.
You say tonight, oh, well, I'm just 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Listen, I've been at funerals of young people your age. See, it's not enough to know. It's not enough to know. You have to go in. As I look down, yes, they're here too. That's the door. You have to go through there if you want to get your meal afterwards. Well, you can go round another, but you've got to go. Listen, you're not going to get any supper unless you go through the door. Well, what's the wee logo above the door? See the wee man running? He's running. There's the door. And that's our message to you tonight in the gospel. Jesus Christ is the door to heaven. And if you're not saved, no matter what age you are, will you not run to Christ tonight? Run to him right now. Now, I don't mean get out of your seat and run forward. That's not what I... Right now, you say, Lord, I don't understand it all, but Jesus Christ died to be my Savior. Lord, I want to be saved. I want to know that I have eternal life. And the Bible says you can know. Will you not come and trust him? Will you not come and believe in him? I remember some of you 13, I remember doing a wedding. It wasn't so long ago, but I remember the young fella had moved away from that area and he married a girl from the church in Armagh, actually. And at the wedding, he got up to speak, the bridegroom. You know, you men, when you, there's some of us are married, you get up and speak. And you know what he got up and he said? And he told the story. I knew the story, but I was pleased that he testified at his wedding with unsaved there. You know what it was? I remember the night. Well, actually, afternoon it was. It was a special afternoon service on a Sunday. And he asked to see me after the service. And I went into the room and said, oh, what is it you want to see me about? And then he was a bit shy. I said, are you saved? He says, oh, yes, I'm saved. I says, well, that's good. When did you come to Christ? You know what he said? Just a few moments ago, sitting in the pew at the end of the service. Not lovely? I says, well, tell me about it. Brought up in a Christian home, but he said, as the evangelist preached, I realized what an awful sinner I am. And I realized I must come to Christ. And just as the meeting closed where I was sitting, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And there was the years later, it was on his birthday, at the wedding, he said, I want to thank God when I was 13 years of age on my birthday. And the Reverend Johnson was there in the meeting. I was leading the meeting. Another man was speaking. I came and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Have you? Think about it. I'm finished. Just think about it. There's the door. Doorway. It's a doorway. You don't even have to push the door to get into it. You have to go and push this door open or somebody will open it for you. No, it's just a curtain, and you just pull it. One moment you're outside. You take a step and you're inside. And you know salvation tonight. Maybe you came to the meeting and you're outside of Christ. You can take one step. Step of faith. And get into Christ as your Savior. We're going to have a closing hymn, but could we just bow briefly in prayer and then we'll hand the meeting over. And of course, for those of you who are saved, or you need to redouble your efforts to get the gospel out, you need to redouble your efforts. Heard on the radio there tonight, they broke the record in the cricket. The captain, 263 or something runs, 8 hours. You know, they're reminding me of the great cricketer C.T. Studd. When he was the top cricketer, he gave it up and went to the mission field. And people asked him, what? You're giving up to be a star in cricket to go to a mission field? Yes, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then there's no sacrifice too great I can make for him. So if you're saved tonight, you need to say, Lord, I'm going to do all I can to tell others
going to do all I can to tell others the gospel. But if you're not saved, why not come to him now? Father in heaven, we thank thee Christ is the door. And Lord, we pray that not one person here would go away just and be like those soldiers and say, I don't want Christ, away with him. Oh Lord, give young people the strength to indicate maybe to their leaders or friends that they want to be sure tonight before they go home that they're on their way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.